Well, Ken, are you ready to get called out today?
like every week? Yeah.
Oh, sure. No. Not like every overt. Week. Yeah, it is. I mean, honestly, we're both going to be called out. Yes. So, yeah, we're going to be talking today about three habits to optimize your health. And this is actually something that we're doing at Full Focus as a team. But we wanted to clue you guys into this and offer you a chance to join us in these habits. So let's jump in.
Let's do it.
This episode is brought to you by Life Focus, a new gamified approach to life planning that's easy, fun, and gives you a GPS for your next 10 years. You can start today at fullfocus.co/lifefocus.
Welcome to another episode of Focus on This, the most productive podcast on the internet, so you can banish distractions, get the right stuff done, and finally start loving Mondays. I'm Kent Pereira here with Marissa Hyatt.
Hey yo, happy Monday. Wow, we did that in unison.
We're in sync today.
Hey ya.
It's been the first time.
First time. It's the first time, maybe ever.
I know. All right, so we're talking about three habits to optimize your health.
Yes.
And we have a challenge coming up here at Full Focus where all the team members are going to have several options of things that they can do, but we're going to do three of these, correct?
Yes. So this is something that we as a company decided to create a goal this year that I'm actually leading our team twice through two different kind of wellness challenges. We're going to do one this quarter and then one in Q4. So I'm really excited about this. And we thought it would be fun to bring you guys into this because I know when I've shared on the podcast other kinds of health challenges and things that I've done, I get a lot of DMs on Instagram or messages on Facebook of like, hey, wait, I want to join. I want to do this. Yeah. And so we thought, what if we just did this as a collective rather than just offer this to our immediate team here at Full Focus?
And it's going
to
be in the Facebook group.
Yes.
So if you guys want to go to it, go to the Full Focus Planner Community Facebook group.
Yes.
That'll be in the show notes, but it's going to be a great challenge.
Yeah.
So let's dig into the three habits that we're going to talk about. The first one, it's what?
Well, before we actually dig in, I want to talk about how long we're going to be doing this challenge. Yes. Because I think that the length of time, hopefully you're establishing these habits for life. But for this specific challenge, our team is going to be participating for 70 days.
What?
10 weeks. And there's a reason for that. I didn't just like randomly pick out 70 days and just say, oh, like that sounds nice. Okay. This is actually, according to the book Hidden Habits, it takes on average 66 days to install a health-related habit.
Hmm.
So for other habits, it might take longer. We typically hear 21 days is how long it takes to create a habit, which is totally not true. Yeah. The research shows that it is specifically for health-related habits, it's at least 66 days. So we decided to go a little bit further and round it out to a full 10 weeks.
Do you know if like age also has to play a part of it? Like the longer you have lived and done something that's been ingrained in you, the longer it takes to break that
like,
habit?
Like, are you essentially asking like, can you teach an old dog new habits?
Yeah.
I don't know what the research would say, but I would suspect there's not really that big of a difference.
Yeah.
I think that the truth is a lot of it isn't within your mindset. And so that might be more difficult to overcome. You know, for somebody who is older and maybe has their beliefs really set in stone, they might have bigger hurdles to overcome. But I would be willing to put money on the fact that there's no real evidence that says it's harder for somebody older to create a habit.
I love it. So let's jump in.
Okay.
The three daily habits. The first one is 30 minutes of movement.
Yes. So 30 minutes of movement, keyword is movement there. So this can be really anything that you want. So we wanted to give a lot of autonomy within this challenge. That's important to me. It's one of my personal values. And so the key here is that it doesn't matter what you're doing, but it does matter that it's intentional. So you can't just be like, well, I like parked extra far from my car or something and just like walked, or I, you know, like just was, you know, I went shopping for 30 minutes today and well, I'm just going to count that as my movement. No, it needs to be intentional. So this could be anything from walking, running, yoga, weight training. I know you like
BJJ. Yeah.
Yeah. Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I can never say this. Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yes. Some of your CrossFit swimmers, yes. Triathletes, you know, like you do all that.
Yeah. Whatever, like, you enjoy doing and you're going to be able to commit to do that. You also do not have to do the same thing every day.
Yeah.
So it is 7 days a week for 10 weeks. Okay. So it's 30 minutes a day, but it doesn't matter what you do. So for me, I'm going to mix it up. Like, 1 day a week, I'll probably do yoga, probably 2 days of walking, and then like 4 days of weight training. Are you going to do 7 days of
BJJ?
Brazilian?
Yeah. No, my body would hate me all day.
Like, fit at the end of it, though.
I'd be in a lot of pain, too. Yeah. I'd be like, I'm sore everywhere. You know, I just found out about this 7 days a week, 30-day movement, or 30 minutes of movement just now.
Okay.
So I'll need to decide what it is. But let me add some qualifiers or ask questions, you know, for people, especially if we're inviting them in. Would stuff like Wii tennis be included as 30 minutes of movement?
No. I would say that's not. I mean,
Nick was like, yes.
No, that stuff is intense. I don't know. I'm not here to tell you, Marissa, what you have envisioned. But
or like Just really Dance. I'm dating myself with all those games that I'm playing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If it really feels like movement and intentional for you, then like, I guess, sure. But like, try a little harder. Okay. Like, do a little something.
Everybody, you know? go on Facebook and let Marissa know about all your sweaty video game playing.
Yeah. I really hate video games personally, so I'm like
Dance Dance Revolution. If people are still doing that,
People are still doing it, you know, I do think though, like even if the key here is, I really wanted to make each of these three habits doable for everybody, no matter what stage of life, no matter what their current health is like. And so, if for you have a crazy busy day, and let's say you get to the end of the day and you're like, gosh, I like did not do my 30 minutes. Put on a YouTube video of like restorative yoga, you know, and go basically stretch for 30 minutes. The key is intentional movement. So if your Wii tennis is intentional, then I would say go for it.
Number two, it's 10 minutes of mindfulness.
Yes.
Okay. Talk about this, because some people, when they hear mindfulness, there's a lot of questions that come up.
Yeah.
What do we mean by mindfulness?
Yeah. So essentially, mindfulness is anything from meditation, prayer, breath work. The key is that you're slowing down. You're slowing your thoughts down. Okay. Yeah. Like, we want to get the scientific benefits, the physiological benefits of doing this. And in order to do that, you need to slow your mind down. You need to focus on your breathing. And a lot of what this means, mindfulness, is noticing. Okay. So specifically for meditation, a lot of people think like this is a spiritual practice, you know, like meditation is something that like you would go do in a spiritual context, which surely it can for a lot of people, but it doesn't have to be that. Meditation can be as simple as like literally sitting or even laying down and putting on calming music or white noise or whatever kind of helps like drown out the noise, and noticing your thoughts. And so the way that I like to think about this is, if you had a stream and you saw like a leaf going down the stream or a twig going down the stream or something floating down, those things floating down are your thoughts. And so what we do in our normal life is we engage with our thoughts. Like, you have the thought of, oh my gosh, okay, that was a really stressful meeting and I've got to remember this. And then, oh yeah, I forgot, I need to go email so-and-so to make sure that they are on that duty. Oh, and that reminds me, I've got people coming over for dinner tonight. And so,
And I skipped lunch just now. So I got to figure that out.
So you start engaging and you get through this whole kind of like spiral in your thoughts. And what meditation can offer, really any mindfulness practice can offer you, is slowing down and noticing those thoughts. So you're kind of like, pull yourself out of your own thoughts, which is difficult. It's why it's called a practice, because it doesn't usually happen the first time or even the 50th time that you do this. And you just notice those thoughts. So you might see, oh, that was a stressful meeting. Okay, I'm noticing that was a stressful meeting. And then you kind of are focusing on your breathing. And then inevitably, your mind wanders and you get way far into something. And all you do is you come back to your breath and you go, I need to come back to my breath. Okay, now I'm noticing myself inhaling and exhaling. And all it's doing is kind of training your brain to slow down. And this is really important. I mean, the research on meditation, like the scientific research, is fascinating. When I was working on this for the team, I started doing a lot of this research myself. And I was honestly shocked. Like, I knew that there was a lot of research, but I didn't know how much and how extensive and specific that research is. So I just want to share a few benefits that I found through some of these studies, through this research that they're doing on specifically meditation. So first of all, meditation controls anxiety. And there's a study, a two-month study that was done by JAMA Psychiatry. They did this with 276 participants who were diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. Now, half of these people were given Lexapro, which is like an anti-anxiety prescription. And the other half were instructed to do a daily meditation practice. They had kind of specifics around what they were supposed to do and how long, and there were a lot of things. So both groups reported moderate improvements. Actually, both groups, whether on medication or doing meditation, reported 20% reduction in their symptoms at the end of the study. I think it was, I want to say it was an 8-week study that they did, regardless of their treatment. So it was pretty interesting. Yeah. It's pretty much like the same kind of benefits. However, 80% of those who chose to take, or not choose, were asked to take the antidepressant, the Lexapro, they reported at least one side effect. Okay, so this could look like trouble sleeping, nausea, headaches, decreased libido, or increased anxiety. Now, out of the people who were instructed to meditate, 15% of those people reported increased anxiety, so essentially a side effect.
Yeah,
and it's not that surprising because if you think that you're focusing on, you know, slowing down your thoughts, it inevitably can trigger things. If you know, if that it could potentially make it worse. But what this study found was that essentially meditation is a great alternative to medication for anxiety. Now, obviously, if you're currently on anxiety, anti-anxiety medication, or you know, you've gone and have been prescribed with anxiety, work with your doctor on this. Like, we're not medical professionals, and so you know, take that into account.
Like, oh, Marissa said so, and like, no.
And usually, if you're coming off of those, you need like, there's a process that you go through. It needs to be supervised. Yeah. But it is pretty incredible that meditation has been found to be as effective as prescription, like anti-anxiety medication with less side effects.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
I find it really interesting. I have four kids. And one of the things that we do a lot when they like flip their lid and they're going crazy or they're just really anxious, whatever happens, is we just tell them, hey, take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Right. Like, slow down. And when you, and I love that you keep saying, hey, you need to slow down, because the slowing down doesn't solve the problem.
No.
Right. But it gets you to a place where you're calm enough so that you can actually start thinking about solutions to the problem.
Right.
If you don't calm down, right. That's why kids all of a sudden are doing temper tantrums and like are going chaotic. Because why? They're just like, they haven't slowed down to relax.
Yeah.
I remember my mom, when I was a kid, used to tell me all the time, calm down.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath.
Yes.
And now every time when something happens, literally it's like instinct. I'm like, there's a problem.
Yeah.
My first instinct is take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. We have more time than we think on the clock. Let's figure it out.
Totally.
So that's why most of the time I'm like pretty chill and I'm like not freaking out about stuff, because I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
I'm relaxed. Right?
Well, and having a daily mindfulness practice will help prevent those, you know, like where you're not going to get to that heightened state because of what we're talking about, this slowing down, this breathing, this noticing, and just, just the whole aspect of quieting the brain. Like, I have heard people talk about meditation for children as brain breaks. And I love that idea of like, this is a break for your brain, because all we do all day long is think. Our brain is going constantly. Our subconscious is going constantly. And so this is a way for us to kind of quiet that noise.
So as we're talking about slowing down, we also know that one of the other benefits is that it helps our nervous system.
Yes.
Right. So it's a physiological effect. Talk about some of the research you found. Yeah. What does that do?
Yeah. So there are essentially two branches of our autonomic nervous system. There's a sympathetic nervous system, which essentially prepares our body for stress. So this is what you might have heard of as the fight or flight response. So this is when your body is flooded with cortisol or adrenaline. You know, it expands the blood flow in your body. It's pushing tons of blood flow into your muscles, and it's essentially helping you deal with threats, which is stress. That's what it is, right? There's also the other branch, which is your parasympathetic nervous system, which helps us recover from stress. So often you might hear this referred to as the rest and digest kind of phase of the stress cycle. And this is really important because this is how we actually complete the stress cycle. So if you think about this for our ancestors, okay, who were, you know, hunters and gatherers, they might have a legit threat from an animal that was chasing them or, you know, whatever. And so their body goes into that fight or flight. They might, you know, run, they might try to fight that animal or flee or whatever. And then after that happens, they're able to go into the rest and digest where that stress cycle is complete. The threat is gone and they kind of relax and calm down. The problem is for us in the modern day and age, that stress, that threat or perceived threat may never leave. Yeah. So this is often for those of us, especially who are high achievers at work, that perceived threat could be there all the time. So if you're in marketing like me, maybe that threat is your budget. Yeah. You're like trying to hit those numbers, or you're in sales and you're trying to hit those numbers, and that's the perceived threat, but you're not actually completing that stress cycle. So what happens is when we meditate, we are able to complete that stress cycle and, you know, flood our body with those, you know, calming hormones, slow down the cortisol, the adrenaline, all that that's going like crazy in us, and calm down. And that's usually because of the breath. Specifically, there are certain types of breaths that you can do. For instance, is something as simple as making your exhale longer than your inhale has been proven to release cortisol within the, slow down cortisol within the body and adrenaline. So if all you do nothing else but make your exhale longer than your inhale, you're going to help complete the stress cycle.
Yeah. It's fascinating when you talk about high performers, because I think sometimes high performers are high performers because they probably are just in the fight mode of just dealing with stress.
Right.
And they see it in like, I know for me, I'm talking about me personally. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to run away from this. I'm just going to go head on. I'm just going to keep attacking. And I mean, back in 2020, my body told me you're done attacking. Sure. And I had to like slow down significantly. So it's just fascinating to think about like, breathing does help in such varied ways.
Yeah.
And I love how you just brought that up, like the cortisol. I'm like, oh, okay, I should.
Well, it is. More. I mean, it's like, you know, our body does tell us when something's going off. And I mean, if you have increased adrenaline and cortisol consistently, I mean, you will literally face burnout through, you know, your adrenals burning out because they're trying to pump too much of those hormones. Yeah. And there's just like not a reserve. So mindfulness really helps us with that.
And then it actually helps with the third thing, right? Which is the third benefit is our memory.
Yeah. Which this is crazy. So the National Library of Medicine has found that while meditation is best known to help ease stress and anxiety, it can also help improve your brain structure. So when you practice meditation, your brain is able to produce more gray matter. And researchers did a whole study on this, which is crazy. So gray matter is crucial for healthy brain cognition. It helps protect the hippocampus, the part of your brain that connects, is connected to your memory. And it's also crucial for your basic human functions, including your ability to control movement and emotions. So literally by meditating, you're producing more gray matter, which helps your memory. The same study found that meditating for 30 minutes a day for 8 weeks can increase how much gray matter your body produces. So we'll link these studies in our show notes. So if you want to go do your own research and find more, there's so much. I mean, it is crazy. But the bottom line is that having a daily mindfulness practice, and specifically a lot of the research has been done on meditation, it is incredibly beneficial to our entire physiology.
Yeah. Well, and what these researchers are showing is just, if anything, proving how much of a hurried culture we are.
Yes.
Everything is go, 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 busy. We don't know how to just slow down, relax,
give enjoy. Our brains a break.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, and that's why we talk about rest, right?
Yeah.
I think one of the hardest things to do for most people, especially high achievers, is to rest.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many people put it in the Facebook group where they'll say, oh, I can't rest. I need to be doing something, right? Yeah. And they feel restless when they're resting. Right. Like, that's actually a sign that your body's telling you to slow down.
To slow down. Exactly.
That you don't like to stay calm.
Yeah. So. And because we at Full Focus are high achievers, I thought this would be a challenge for us to do 10 minutes of mindfulness every day. So just a couple quick resources. If you're new to meditation, you haven't done this, there's two great, really beginner apps. Headspace, most of us know this one. They do a great job explaining what is happening within your brain as you're meditating, which is helpful. So it's guided, but they're also explaining, you know, on a psychological level, kind of what's happening. And then there's another one called One Giant Mind. So that's one word and the number one giant mind. Oh. My favorite personal app is called Insight Timer. And this has 6.8 billion meditation minutes on it. Like, this app is crazy.
That sounds like a lot of minutes.
You know, the Spotify or whatever of like guided meditation. There's all kinds of teachers. There's all kinds of, like, you can have ones for sleep or anxiety or work stress or your morning routine or whatever. They also have visualizations. They have journal prompts, breath work, lots of different things within there. Now, if you're looking for something from a faith-based perspective and that's important to you, there's two really great apps. Do you want to share those?
Yeah. So the first one is from John Eldridge. It's the 1 minute pause.
Yep.
So a couple of people here at Full Focus have used it. Yeah, they told me about it. Mm-hmm. So I downloaded it. I'm going to try it during this.
And it's called 1 minute pause, but they actually have like, I think 1, 5, and 10 minute yeah. pause.
It was so confusing to me. I'm like, hey, their branding is off here because I downloaded it. I'm like, I'm looking for 1 minute pause.
And it's like 10 minutes. He talks about that concept in a book of his as like the 1 minute pause. And so that's where that app was born out of. But then they added.
I was like, they should just call it the pause app. Yeah. That'd be great.
Right. Versus just, that would be smart.
And then the next one is Abide. I've actually used this one before. Yeah. This is another Christian-based meditation app. They have over 2,000 biblical meditations that you could look at. And you could try them out. You could see if you like them. If you don't, toss them away.
And let us know. I mean, if you guys have other, you know, meditation or mindful apps that you use, we'd love to, you know, hear those in the Full Focus Planner community.
Yeah. I'm going to try them, see if I like them. And if I don't, I'm like, this is something that we're texting back and forth. It's just like the biggest thing, the most important thing is that you slow down. You see what's going on in your mind, right? Because we are so hurried. There's so many thoughts going throughout the day and you just need to slow down.
Yeah.
So what can you do to slow that down?
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
So whether it's meditation, prayer, journal, like you got to just find ways. Yeah. Today we're talking about, hey, how do you meditate?
Yeah. Well, you probably know the benefits of the compound effect of small actions through daily habits. But the biggest question is, where are those habits leading you? Well, without a clear destination, it's really challenging to stay on course and keep up your motivation. So how do you decide which habits to prioritize in any given day, month, or even year? Well, the answer is a life plan. We here at Full Focus have created Life Focus, which is a brand new gamified approach to life planning. Each Life Focus kit comes with 11 card decks to help you define your personal mission, identify your personal values, describe your desired future, and determine your next steps, including the key milestones and essential habits to help you achieve your plan. By the end of this fun and easy process, you won't just have a vision for your life. You'll have the next steps and habits to pursue a life of greater direction, growth, and purpose. And right now, just for being a listener of Focus on This, we are giving you 15% off our Life Focus kit and our course. So just go to fullfocus.co/lifefocus and use the code FOT15 to get started.
So first habit that we're going to do is move 30 minutes a day.
Yes.
Right. The second one is mindfulness.
Yep.
And then what's the third one?
The third one is to let go of one thing in your diet is not serving you. And this is where we both get called out.
When are we starting this?
Okay. We are starting next week on Monday. So you need to be thinking about, and I'm curious to know what you choose. This could be anything though. So this could be like sugar. This could be alcohol. This could be like fast food. Maybe you're somebody who frequents Chick-fil-A a lot. You know, I know a lot of people who like Chick-fil-A.
Why are you calling people
out? I don't want to, Chick-fil-A's not serving me. Okay. I mean, they're serving you, but they're not serving you.
Someone should get rid of coffee and bread.
It could be coffee. Okay, I don't need to hear that. That is blasphemy. Okay, we're not getting rid of bread. But it could be bread. Maybe it's bread for you. It won't be for me, okay?
For those of you who are new to the show and wondering why I'm calling her out on bread is because she is a sourdough maker, bread maker?
Baker?
So she's huge into that.
Yeah, I'm a bread advocate.
Yes, massive bread advocate. Yeah. Okay, so is this like we're going to say, hey, we're going to cut this out for the 70 days and that's the one thing? Or are we like one day we're cutting this out and then
just
the next
one thing for the 70 days? So you're going to choose one thing for 10 weeks that you will not consume. And this could be like, maybe you have a habit, and I might be calling myself out on this, okay, but of potato chips. Like, maybe that's your downfall. I love a potato chip. And I'm very particular on the potato chip that I like. But like, I don't think those potatoes are serving me, you know?
Do you have them a lot?
Yeah, it's like a good little snack. Evening snack? Yeah. Okay. Like, I'm not a sweets person, but I love a salty snack.
Because I'm surprised we don't have a lot of those in the office.
Yeah. Well, I don't. It's like a late night. Like, you know, I'm watching a TV show and that's what I want to eat.
Every night I'm always like opening up the cupboards looking for sugar.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so maybe a sugar, yeah. You know, or maybe there's like a specific snack that you really like and you need to just release that for 10 weeks. Okay.
So now, wait, I'll pray have about you guys that. Said what you're giving up? This is what no. people want to know. Are you going to tell us?
Do you know what you're going to give up?
What I want to give up and what I should give up are two totally
sure.
entirely different yeah. things. So this should put you out of your comfort zone. Like, this is intentionally in here to be a challenge. This is not like a, oh, well, I don't ever consume alcohol. I maybe do it twice a month, so I'll just give that up. Like, this should be difficult for you,
yeah.
you know, and something that, you know, you feel a little sting by releasing.
Yeah. I plead the fifth.
Okay, well,
I'm going to tell the team at some point.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm pausing.
Maybe we can come back and do like a check-in.
Yes. My, know, 5 wife, weeks in or something. My wife is probably going to be like, just going to call me out hard. She knows exactly what
okay, well, I'm giving up alcohol for the time. Mm. So that will be what I like to do this.
You should do bread.
No. I don't eat bread. Honestly, I don't eat bread enough that it would be a problem. It would be like.
That's what addicts say.
Yeah. Well, I honestly make more bread than I eat bread, which is kind of funny. But I feel like with alcohol, that's something that I like to give up on a regular basis, you know, and there's just so much research about alcohol and how the negative effects on the body and all of that. And so as we're cleaning up just our health, our wellness, our mental health, I'm like, that's something that I want to let go of for 10 weeks. So that's okay, so what I'll do.
I'm going to be in the sugar category. I'm just trying to decide if it's like sugar, like
or like a specific sugar.
Yeah, like, or like candy, or is it like that? Or am I talking about like processed foods or, you know, like,
yeah,
because some people are like, those breads turned into sugar. So you
I did
cut
do
that
like
out.
A 2-week no processed foods. And that was really actually difficult, but it was great.
Yeah, I've done those a lot. And I'm just, that's why mentally I'm like, oh,
all right, well, why don't we let you share in the community when you're ready? When you've made the decision. How about that?
Fair enough.
And we'll do a check-in like halfway through. So for those of you who are listening and you're going, gosh, okay, I want to do this. I like kind of feel, you know, convicted about this. I need to participate in this wellness challenge. We'd love for you to do this with us. So our whole team's going to do this. Personally, we're going to be doing this within a Slack channel that we have. And we have like a, if you've ever heard of Geekbot, which is kind of like an automated prompt, we're going to have prompts each day that are checking in, keeping us accountable. Obviously, we have each other to keep accountable. And we'll be sharing in the Full Focus Planner community with you guys how things are going. We would love for you to check in there, share with us what you're deciding to do for your movement, for your mindfulness, and what you're letting go of in your diet. And if you have friends who you feel like, hey, it would be so fun if we did this together, or a spouse or a family member, or maybe it's your coworkers. Maybe you want to get your team at work doing this wellness challenge. We want to invite you to share this episode with those people right now. You can just send them a text and get them on board. And we are actually going to share with you guys a printable like tracker for you to track these 3 habits for the next 70 days. So you can put it on your fridge and check it off. We'd love for you to post a photo of that in the community. We'll post ours, and we want to cheer each other on of just being more well-rounded and really ultimately getting the double win, which is winning at work and succeeding at life. So this is that succeeding at life part.
I love it. Now, before you jump into the challenge, one thing that you have to do, okay, this is my final thought, is make sure you open up your planner, you look at your ideal week, and like start scheduling where you're going to add these new things to to your week, right? Because you might be like, I'm all in, but you're like, when am I going to work out? When am I going to add those 30 minutes? When am I going to do the 10 minutes, the mindfulness? What stuff am I going to cut out, right? Like, if you cut out, say, processed food, well, now that means you may need to cook more. Do you have the time to cook more? So just start planning ahead as you're thinking about when you're going to jump into it. By the time this recording comes out, we have already been started here at Full
Focus. For 1 week. So we're not too far ahead.
Yep. So just know that we are all in this together.
Yep.
And we'll keep moving forward.
We're super excited. We'll definitely do another episode and come back and talk more through it. So
awesome. All right. Well, let's wrap this up.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us on Focus on This.
This is the most productive podcast on the internet. So please share it with your friends and be sure to join the Full Focus Planner community on Facebook so you can benefit from the creativity and encouragement of people chasing big goals just like you.
And we're going to be here next week with another awesome episode. And we're going to be sharing with you 7 of the most important questions that you need to answer to change your life. So don't miss that.
Until then.
Stay focused. This episode is brought to you by Life Focus, a new gamified approach to life planning that's easy, fun, and gives you a GPS for your next 10 years. You can start today at fullfocus.co/lifefocus.